Chapter 4 A Lone Swimmer Gets Ashore. While Sven was watching the water coming to a boil for coffee, Edvin Christiansen wakened his wife. He gave her the news about the helpless schooner.
"Go in and make sure the boy eats a good breakfast,"
he urged. "He will want to get over to his people as quickly as possible. But it is better that he has a full belly before he goes. There is the bridge to cross, and he is sure to get a soaking." He went out to test the storm and came back looking pleased. The viciousness was going out of the wind. Instead of a continuous screaming fury, it was now gusting, as if it had grown tired of battering the two islands without success. Mrs. Christiansen prepared a good meal, and refused to listen to Sven's pleas that he did not have time to eat.
"It is still dark outside,"
was her calm retort, "and every minute the storm grows quieter. Remember, Sven, you have the bridge to cross, and a half hour's delay is better than being blown off it." They saw him on his way as adequately clothed against the storm as possible, but even the sou'wester and oilskins could not keep him dry when he reached the bridge. There was no longer the devil's tattoo of pebbles and stones beating on the underside of the steel bridge walk, but high-flung spray and even great soap-sud patches of spume filled the air. By the time he was across and back on Mykines, water was running down his neck. He hardly felt the discomfort of it, however, for once the bridge was behind, new hope surged within him. For nearly 3 days, he had been cut off from his mother. Now he had good news. The schooner was afloat. The storm was dying down, and he refused to believe the little voice at the back of his mind, which kept reminding him of the towering cliffs, the awesome rocks, and the current which would surely take the schooner inshore. Each house on Mykines stood by itself, and Sven's was at the eastern end of the village. No light showed anywhere, but a few minutes after his first knock on the door, his mother let him in. Maria Clack must have been sleeping with one eye open, since she had everything ready for an emergency. The fire in the big stove showed that, for it was easily brought to a fierce heat by a minute of blowing with the sheepskin bellows. Napoleon Berwer listened to his grandson's story, and took command at once.
"Waken everybody," he ordered. "Tell your uncle Axel he must bring all the rope he has. Tell the women, too, to bring ropes. Maria, you had better organize the older women. They must make plenty of good coffee and soup. When we get the men ashore, they'll need something to put life into them again."
The little voice of reason at the back of Sven's mind, which had kept telling him rescue was impossible, suddenly lost its power to frighten the boy. Grandfather seemed so sure they could save the schooner's crew. There was not a shadow of doubt in his voice. The moment the door closed on Sven, however, Maria Clark looked at her father, and her face was somber.
"You don't believe we can get them ashore? Not in this wind?"
"I'm not believing anything, Maria," her father said soberly. "But the man who is ready, well, he can always take advantage of a miracle."
Maria Clark swallowed the lump in her throat.